How about now?
Woohoo!
This is awesome. So we've been talking for several weeks. Last week we took a break, and Bo came and spoke, and I was thankful for that. But we've been talking for about 4 weeks about God's will for your life. God's will for your life. And tonight we're going to kind of finish up the series, lesson number 4, God's will, your life. And we started with a couple of letters. You guys remember that? Yeah? You know what? Where did I put my letter at? Lee, could you run, check on my desk, see if there's a sealed envelope? It's from God. It's important. Rachel's got it. She's awesome. But we started with a couple of letters. Remember I had you guys come up and read, and they were letters, you know, dear God, you know, I want to know, like, what you want me to do with my life. And some of the letters were great. Some of the letters said, you know, you will find your true love sitting in row number 4 in your discrete math class, right? Anybody have discrete math? Ha, I knew there was one here. Yeah, I failed it too. Hey, welcome to the club. Nobody knows what discrete math is. I still don't know what discrete math is. but you know, you have this letter, and it has all these specifics. You know, you will go to, I'll get it from you, Rachel. It's okay. I won't make you walk all the way up because you're awesome. Thank you. You know, it would have all these specifics. I want you to go to this school. I want you to go and take this job. If you will apply at this place at such and such a time, then you will get the job, you know. I want you to look for the guy named Frank. He's the one you want to interview you, you know. Like, just these, you know, Frank, it's okay. That's your boyfriend? Oh my gosh, it's a sign. It's probably not a sign, okay? I don't know Frank, so don't take any. But we want stuff like that, right? We want this sign from heaven that's telling us exactly what we're supposed to do, whether we're supposed to date this person or not, whether we're supposed to take this job, whether I'm supposed to move to this place or not. I really want some detailed instructions, God. If you could do that, that would be awesome, and I'd appreciate it because I'm lost and I'm freaked out because I have so many choices to make. And I don't know what the right one is. And I don't want to screw it up, because if I make the wrong choice, then maybe my life will suck and I will not ever achieve what I'm supposed to achieve, and I'll have a horrible marriage and everything will just be rotten because I made that one wrong choice because I took discrete math in my case. So we started with a couple of letters, and as we pulled apart in Colossians chapter 3 what God says to us, we started to realize that maybe it's not so specific. And I've spent 3 weeks teaching you guys some principles. We started with looking to God for our purpose. We started with learning that our purpose is to love and to know God. It is to love and to know God. And if God is over here, you know, if God is in this circle and we're over here in our life, then our purpose is to move. See? Our purpose is to move one step at a time, closer and closer to who God is, to be right in the center of who he is. Because this is where our life is, and our life is hidden in Christ with God. That's what Colossians chapter said. Chapter 3 said, so you will not discover your life unless you are in Christ with God. And for some of you, that means starting a relationship with God. I don't know if you're a Christian here tonight or not. I don't know if you're just came to Oasis because you wanted something to do on a Saturday, or you want to connect with God, but it's been a while, or I don't know what your situation is, but if you're not a Christian, then that means that you will never quite accomplish your purpose in life, and I know you probably expected to hear this, and I'm really glad you're here, but you'll probably not accomplish your purpose in life outside of Christ. You just can't, according to what I believe and what God has shown me. We learned that the purpose for our lives is to know and love God. Know and love God. And then we learned the second week that there's these things that could be a stopping point for some of us. And it's a big pill to swallow. We learned that as a Christian, there's going to be things that are going to come in between me and God. They're going to come in between me and my walk towards God. And I'm going to hit some kind of fence. I'm going to hit some kind of barrier that's going to mess me up. And for Christians, it's still a big pill to swallow to think that my purpose is to be in Christ, because we do a lot of spiritual things. We do a lot of religious things, but those things aren't it. In week two, we talked about toxic toys. You guys remember I had the little Percy the Train, like the Thomas the Train character? Okay, the little wooden toys. Some of you guys were here, some of you guys were not here. It's okay. But, you know, I talked about how some toys were painted with lead paint, and lead is really bad for you. And if you eat paint, lead paint chips, then it will make you super, super sick because your body will absorb it. And it's a poison, and it's really bad. And chelation therapy is the only way to get it out. And it's super painful. It's super painful. But we, like little kids, we have our favorite toys. We have our favorite things in our lives that bring us comfort, that help to comfort us and to soothe the anxiety of life, because life is full of anxiety and stress and all kinds of craziness, right? It really is, no matter who you are, where you live. The only people that it's not true for are the people that are lying because they're in a TV show, okay? But for all of us regular people, life is super stressful and it's full of all kinds of things that cause anxiety. And so what do? We go to our comforts. And for little kids, that might be a blanket, that might be a special toy. But in this case, the toy was covered in lead paint. It was toxic to us. And oftentimes, we latch on to things that are toxic to us. These could be vices, commonly vices. Things like sex outside of a monogamous marital relationship. You know, we could latch on to that because it makes us feel something. It makes us feel loved. It makes us feel connected. We latch on to substances, alcohol, drugs. For some people, it's tobacco. You know, there's things that we can misuse, even things that might not be bad for us necessarily in moderation. We can misuse these things. We latch on to them, and they become a comfort for us. And next thing you know, they're poisonous. They're toxic to who we are and who we want to be. Attitudes of bitterness, attitudes towards our boss that are just messed up, attitudes towards parents, friends, things that sink in, these negative, critical attitudes where we're just constantly, these things can be toxic and we can always go there. Well, everybody's out to get me, you know, the world hates me and you can't trust anybody and everything's bad and blah, 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 life sucks and then you die. And we can like take this on and like carry this, and that's like our go-to. That's our comfort. We go back into this self-pity, this wallowing, the bitterness, all this stuff. Unhealthy relationships are another thing, right? You have friends, but they're not good friends. They're not in a good situation. And you know every time you're with those friends, you do things that you shouldn't do or that are outside of your integrity, that you got to give up a little piece of yourself inside to be there and to do that and to go. And it's uncomfortable, but the other alternative is to sit at home and cry watching Bachelor. You know, like what? So what do I do, you know? And so I need comfort, I don't want to be alone, so I'm going to go and I'm going to hang out with my friends and do these things that I shouldn't do, or I'm going to be in this relationship with this guy or with this girl that I know is not healthy for me. And there's all kinds of things that we do, and they're toxic toys. And so we learn in week number two, like week one said, our purpose is to be here in Christ with God, like to move as close as possible to God, because that's our purpose. But as we move towards him, there's ugly trolls, there's toxic toys in the way, and we have to have the strength to push them aside and get rid of them. And just like chelation therapy, it's super painful because it feels like it's a part of us. And like a little kid, we don't understand when mom and dad takes that away and says, Percy's bad for you. No, it's not. Percy's my friend. Percy doesn't want to hurt me. Why would you take my toy? You mean, I hate you, right? That's what we do to parents, to take stuff away from us that we don't understand is bad for us. We have the same response with God, and it's very, very painful. It's very emotional. But we have to walk through that and move through that to get closer to God. That's what we learned week two. And the point was to always choose purpose over poison. Always choose purpose over poison in our life, right? And to have the courage to let go of the toxic things in our life. And then week three, we learned that what you got on is more important than what's going on. Week three, what you got on is more important than what's going on. Okay? And we talked about the reality of life is that life is hard. It's difficult. And difficulty doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. We believe this. My generation especially, I think, when things are hard, I must be doing it wrong. There's got to be an easier way. There's got to be like a microwave somewhere. Okay? Because there's no way this is going to take 2 years. Okay? This is ridiculous. there's got to be some way to speed up this process, you know, of getting to the top of the rung in my job. I don't want to start at the bottom end. There's got to be a quicker way to getting into a relationship and getting married. Can we like speed this thing up, you know, because I'm not getting any younger. There's got to be a faster way to get to where I want. I don't want to have to work and drive like a beater and live in a ghetto apartment. I want the nice car like my parents have and the nice house that my parents have. And I don't want to go through all that they went through to get there. I don't want that 30 years. I want it now, right? And we believe that when life is hard, when it's difficult, we must be doing something wrong. When my teacher hates me, I knew it. I went to the wrong college, and this is God. This is God getting back at me, right? Or when you're in a relationship and it's difficult, I knew it. I should have never dated this person. Or even worse, some people, I should have never married this person. What was I thinking? This is a sign from God. My life is over. I made the wrong choice. I must be in the wrong state because I lost my job. I must be in the wrong place. And we second guess everything because it's difficult. Just because it gets super hard and difficult, we're like, I must be doing it wrong because life's not supposed to be difficult. And I'm guilty of believing that, and I'm probably pretty sure, 99% sure that you guys are probably guilty of believing that too. Like it or not, it's just something that we have to deal with, and we quit way too easy. We quit way too easy, and we learn that your character is what is important, not your circumstances. Your character is what's important, not your circumstances. And that these difficult times that we go through are there to build character in us. They're there to make us into the people that God wants us to be. We learn to take responsibility for our own responses because our circumstances do not control our responses. We control our responses. And so we have to take responsibility for how we respond in those situations. And we should respond out of God's character, not our old self. Colossians chapter 3, we saw that we have to put off the old stuff, anger, malice, bitterness, all these other bad things, sexual immorality, all this stuff that we used to that were our go-to tools and our go-to responses of how to deal with situations. We're supposed to take all that off and go to Christ and get new clothes that he clothes us in his righteousness, and he gives us mercy, he gives us forgiveness, he gives us honesty. He gives us respect for others. He gives us the fruit of the Spirit. He gives us all these new ways of responding to situations. And it's super hard. It's super hard. And we try it and we get spaghetti all over Jesus' like righteousness shirt, you know, because we like failed miserably. But he gives us another one and we try it again. And through this process of taking off our old responses and putting on God's new responses and new attitudes and living and walking in them, it changes us. It changes us as we move towards him. And when I'm not enough, then I need to put him on because he is enough. What you got on is more important than what's going on. And this week I want to talk to you and finish up the whole thing with the Karate Kid. So I'm going to ask our video person to show a video here real quick, and then I'll talk to you guys about it.
You learned plenty.
I learned plenty. I learned how to sand your decks, maybe. I washed your car, paint your house, paint your fence. I learned plenty, right?
Not everything is as simple.
Oh, and I'm going home, man.
Daniel-san. Daniel-san.
What?
Come here. Show me sand floor. Sand floor. Sand floor. Big circle, sand floor. Sand floor. Yes. Now show me wax on, wax off. Hey.
Wax on, wax off.
Wax on, wax off. Hey. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Concentrate. Look in my eye. Lock a hand. Thumb inside. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on, hat. Wax off, hat. Wax on. Wax off. English. Show me paint the fence. Up, down. Up, down. Up, down. Other side. Look, I always look, I. Show me paint the house. Side, side. Lock list. Side, side. Side, side. Yes. Show me wax on, wax off. That's! 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 Show me paint the fence. Catch! Face! That's! That's! Show me side to side. That's! 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 Show me sand the floor. Ace! 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 Yes! Hey, look, I always look, I come back tomorrow.
Thank you, tech person. Sarah didn't want me to say her name, so it's called her tech person. In the video you saw, and you guys, how many of you have seen that movie? Some of you guys? Okay. If you haven't, it's a pretty cool movie. It's a pretty famous clip. But in the video you see Mr. Miyagi, who is Daniel's sensei. Daniel-san was getting beaten up at school. He moved to a new neighbor, he's getting beaten up. So he goes to this old guy to help him learn karate. And the old guy says, I want you to wax my car. And so he goes and he waxes on like this, Daniel-san. And he waxes his car and then he makes him do it again and again. And then the next day he comes back and he's got to sand the deck. You know, he's doing all this stuff. He's like doing all these chores for Mr. Miyagi. And then he gets totally frustrated in the clip there. And he's ready to quit. He's like, I'm done. You haven't taught me anything. And Mr. Miyagi says, you learn plenty, Daniel-san. And then we see this clip. And Daniel starts to realize that through this process of doing these things that his teacher had him do, that he was learning a new skill set and he was able to do things that he didn't know he could do before. And that's kind of what we've been going through over the last 3 weeks. And what you're going to go through over the next 30, 60, however many years of your life that you have. I love Mr. Miyagi. He says, look in my eye, you know, look, always look I, always look I. That's a process of always focusing on God, always focusing on Christ, always being in the center of his purpose, of his will, as you do what you do. And then you start to do these things. You take a step towards God, and then something gets in your way, and it's very painful, and you're like, no, not that thing. That thing can't go. You can come with me. But every step you take, it poisons you. It makes you sick. It's messing you up. It's keeping you from your purpose in God, and so you get rid of it. And as you get rid of it, it reveals all these things that you have to take off and put on, and take off and put on, this character that has to change inside of you. And someday we're going to get to God, and we're going to be there, like Daniel-san, and say, God, you never told me what you wanted me to do with my life. And he's going to say, you learn plenty. You learn plenty. Point your life in my direction. Endure the pain to say no to the things that keep you from me and put off the bad character and on the good. So what do I do, God? What do I do? I get that. I can wax on. I can wax off. Woo! I can paint a fence, you know, side and up, down, you know. I may even do this thing, you know. But what do you want me to do? What job am I supposed to take? Who am I supposed to marry? In Colossians chapter 3, we're going to finish up tonight. And you may or may not like the answer, but I believe it's God's answer. And so we kind of got to deal with that. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15 through 17, it says this. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Again, talking about attitudes. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thanksgiving, thankfulness in your hearts to God. And listen to verse 17. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let me read that again. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Let me read another letter, kind of like the first ones, but I believe if God could speak to us, he would say something like this. And say, dear child of mine, well done. You are strong. You are daily transforming into the person I knew you would become. I'm thrilled to see the choices you make to pursue your passions. I know you are making them from a deep well of integrity. You wanted to know what I wanted for your life? You are doing it. You are a person that endures discomfort to grow in character. That is exactly what I wanted for you. Now you are equipped with the tools of my grace and character. You're ready. You are ready to go and do whatever your heart desires. I know your desires are in tune with my desires, so I bless you to pursue the passion I gave you. Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. I really believe that this is what this passage means. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. The point is not what we do. It really doesn't matter what you do. Who you are is way more important than what you do. And as we learn to be the people, to live out this cycle of moving closer to God, getting rid of the things that are toxic for us, having the courage to walk through that, to let God build our character through the difficulty around us, learning to go to him, to be soothed with for our anxiety and the craziness of the life that we have to live, then when we do finally get to him, we won't be the scrawny Ronnie we used to be. We'll have the muscles, we'll have the ability to carry what he has for us for all of eternity. I really believe that. And as we pursue our passions, as long as we are doing it through the flavor of God's grace and his character and who he is, just like we've been learning in Colossians chapter 3, if you're putting off the old and putting on the new, and every day you're getting up and saying, God, cover my mind, let me think only your thoughts, cover my mouth, let me speak your words, cover my eyes, let me see what you want me to see, guard my feet, take me where I'm supposed to go, and you're living your life out of the integrity that is born from knowing Jesus. You can't make a bad choice. You can make a difficult choice. We're going to have to navigate. And yeah, you know, maybe moving here is a more difficult thing or a different thing, but it will grow your character. If you are focused on God and his purpose, it doesn't really matter if you go to Penn State or WVU. It doesn't. It doesn't really matter. And yes, there's absolutely wisdom in listening to the authorities that God has put into your life, the guides that God has put into your life. Listening to people. Say, maybe that's not the right person to date. Maybe that's not the right job to take. I got a funny feeling about that guy. There's wisdom in listening to that. Absolutely. There's wisdom in being in community and letting them speak into your life so you're not blinded by one of those toxic toys. Well, I feel like this is a great opportunity for me to work at this strip joint. You know, the money's good. Maybe this is a bad choice for you, a bad environment, right? I don't think you're making this choice out of the integrity of your heart. Okay? You know what I'm saying? We can make choices, and people have made that choice. And even though they may have worked in a strip joint, it doesn't mean that God's done with them, that their life is totally trashed and it's thrown away. God redeems everything. He will bring them through that. There will be toxic stuff they're going to have to deal with, and pain they're going to have to deal with, and character that will have to change so they can move towards God. It's not going to wreck them for life. If they'll focus on Jesus, That experience, that pain, will take them closer to Him. But the truth is, what you do is more important. Who you are is more important than what you do. I totally screwed that up. I'm going to say that again. Who you are is way more important than what you do. The character that you have, what you're pursuing in God, is way more important than what you do. It doesn't even matter what job you take. Your character will make any situation work, because God's purpose is to develop and to grow you. Your passion is part of that process. Let me tell you guys a dirty little secret. You're never ready. You're never ready. You'll never feel ready. Let's put it that way. I didn't feel ready. When God called me to be a pastor, and the pastor that was here before said, "Ron, you know, I want you and Pastor Joe to be pastors here." And I didn't feel ready. There's no way. First time I got up to speak, I didn't feel ready. I didn't feel ready when I got married. I didn't feel ready when I had a kid. I didn't feel ready at my first job. I never, ever felt ready. And it's been difficult, and it's been hard. But as long as I focus on God, then my marriage will grow me into the man of God I'm supposed to be. Being a dad will grow me into the man of God I'm supposed to be. Whatever job I work at, whether it's cleaning toilets at DeVito Park or preaching, it will grow me into the man I'm supposed to be. It doesn't really matter. It's the struggle. It's the struggle that makes you. God is more concerned with who you are than what you do. And I want to close tonight with another verse from Paul. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And I think part of the scary part of this is it puts a lot of responsibility back on us. It puts a lot of responsibility back on you. Because what if it's not God's fault that I didn't hear that obscure message of where I was supposed to work or what shirt I was supposed to wear on Tuesday? What if it's really my responsibility to work through the difficulties around me? I think that's the danger. That's where this gets really sobering to us as young people and as a generation. You guys 18 to 20 to 30-something to 40-something, as you're making choices and navigating life and you start to realize the difficulty is not a sign from God that I'm supposed to quit. The difficulty is a sign that it's working and that He's working on me and through me and in me. This is what Paul says in 2 Timothy. And if you guys remember, Paul was the guy that God called out to on this road, and he hated Christians. He did all kinds of rotten things to Christians. He wanted to kill Christians and have them thrown in prison. And God miraculously called out to him from heaven and changed his life. And he gave his life to God, and he became one of the biggest evangelists, prophets, teachers in New Testament history. He wrote a ton of the New Testament. He was beaten. He was stoned. They tried to kill him all kinds of times. He was kicked out of more cities than I can remember. He was shipwrecked. All kinds of crazy stuff happened to him. And he said, "I count all this as rubbish, as dung, as a big pile of cow pie, compared to the incredible worth of knowing Jesus, my Lord." And we talked about that week too. This guy, Paul, he had a young person that he was mentoring. And this is what he says to him. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, it says, or 2 Timothy chapter 1, 12 through 14. It says, "But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until the day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me, in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus." Follow the pattern. "By the Holy Spirit who dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you." Guard the good deposit entrusted to you. I know these are kind of like some big thoughts, but Paul's saying to Timothy, follow the pattern. Follow the pattern that you've seen. And I know Timothy's thinking, because I could feel it myself. That's not enough. I need more technique. I need a whole lot more instruction. I need like detailed lists. I need like a picture and story. I need like a YouTube how-to video. I don't care if it's a 12-year-old kid who can't even speak right, you know. Like, and then what you're gonna do is you're gonna like give me something more than that. You know, I need better instructions. And he says, just follow the pattern that you've done. Wax on, wax off. Walk towards God, get rid of the poison. Put off the bad character, put on the new character. Walk towards God, get rid of the poison. Put off the bad character, put on the new character. There's got to be more than this, God. There's got to be more than this. Follow the pattern and guard the deposit. What deposit? I feel empty. I don't feel like I'm equipped. I don't feel like I'm strong enough to even go to my job tomorrow and do the right thing. I'm not ready for marriage. I'm not ready for relationship. I'm not ready. I need more. Follow the pattern, guard the deposit in you, because God has deposited something into you. If you know Jesus Christ, he's given you his Holy Spirit inside of you to guide you. And if you would trust the Spirit of God that he has put inside of you to listen to that and act out of integrity, the integrity that God is building inside of you, you know what the right choice is. You don't need a verse from Ron. You don't need someone to shake you and tell you, hey, do the right thing. You don't need that. You know, you can hear it in your heart. God speaks to you. Have the courage to do that. To do it. And it's the hardest thing in the world sometimes. But you're going to do it. And then you're going to repeat the cycle. You're going to do it again. And if you'll continue to do that, you will build yourself into a person of character. And you will be able to pursue your passions that God has built into you. Whatever God has made you to do, to be on the planet, you can pursue that and go at that. And it might not be ministry. It might not be being a pastor or teacher. It might be being a small appliance repairman. It might be working in the drilling industry. It might be working at a gaming shop. I don't know. Whatever it is that God has made you to do, it might be an artist. It might be a musician. It could be anything. It could be just serving people's needs at the car dealership. Hey, can I get you a coffee? What's wrong with your car? And doing that out of a character that follows God and is honest about everything, it doesn't really matter. But you do it out of the integrity of your heart. Because I'm not that kind of person. I can't make that choice. Hey, I need you to falsify this paper. I can't do that. Well, you might lose your job. So be it. I trust my purpose. I trust my purpose. Let's pray. Dear God, I pray for us tonight, Lord. For each of us who are here tonight, Lord, I pray for those who are far from you, who know that tonight's word is true, Lord, and pray that they would have the courage to just get back up and appeal to you and call to you. Lord, our failures don't define us. They refine us. And you have this incredible, gracious, healing power to take what we broke and turn it around for your good. And so we embrace our brokenness, God. We do. Not because we want to stay there, but because we trust you have the power to get us out of that. So tonight, if there's someone here who needs you, God, I pray that you would meet them, that they would feel you right now, and they would know that you are real. You're not done with them. Lord, if there's someone here tonight who is waffling about a decision they're making and scared to death, Lord, I pray that you would give them the courage that they need to make the decision of integrity and to go with it. To do or not do, but to make a choice and to own their choice and to honor you in their choice and quit trying to cop out. Lord, I pray that you would be with those of us that are in the throes of this cycle, day in and day out, as we've experienced big stuff in our life, big decisions, and it just seems like it's relentless, like we're facing the same battle over and over and over again. God, I pray that we would trust you, that we would trust your process, that we would move towards your purpose, that we would try again, we would try again, we would try again, until we face enough trials, until we go through enough obstacles that we're strong enough to do the right thing because our character has grown and we are ready to trust you. Be with us tonight, Lord. I pray that we would follow you. We care more about our attitude and our heart and our character that we get from you than about the specifics of what we do in life. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.